What's up, guys? I'm your host, Sarah. Thank you so much for joining me today as we continue our journey deeper into the Shadowlands. No one said this life would be easy. There was a man with an infirmity for 38 years. Martha said, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." A windstorm came and their boat began to fill with water and sink. They awoke Jesus, shouting, "Master, Master, we're perishing." But John the Baptist was put in prison. He sent two friends to Jesus asking, "Are you really the coming one? Or are we looking for another?" Yet in all these things there is purpose. What the enemy meant for evil, God intended for good. That the proof of our faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." When Jesus saw him lying there, he said, "Do you want to be healed? This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." He arose and rebuked the wind and raging water, and they ceased. And Jesus asked them, "Where is your faith?" This life is merely a world of shadows, a broken replica of the true home in which our hearts long to be. If you look close enough, you'll catch glimpses of it all around you, in the beauty and in the joy. And this is our hope. So we press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ. We place our hope in His promise that He is with us even now, strengthening us, teaching us, loving us through the storm. So go, little Christian, and sin no more. You've been given a higher calling. Rise up and follow Him. Jesus said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What profit is it if a man gains the world but loses his soul? This life here is but a vapor of mere shadows. The true life and true hope lie in the next. So hang on, fellow soldier, and let's press in together. Where are we aiming? Heaven. Where must we walk first? The Shadowlands." Hey guys, thanks so much for joining me today. I'm so glad you're here. Today's episode is all about Easter, because Easter's right around the corner, which, first of all, I can't believe. I don't know about you, but this year is going by so quickly. Wow. It's a lot to soak in. I cannot believe we're already in April and closing toward the end of April. It's crazy. But I am really, really excited today to talk about the resurrection and really just what Easter means for the Christian and for anyone else too. Today I'm actually going to be doing something a little different, and I'm actually going to be reading from an article that I wrote 2 years ago in April of 2017. I actually wrote this the night before Easter. Some of you may have read it, this article. Most of you probably haven't. But basically, so it was the night before Easter, went all through the house. No. It had almost been a year since losing my best friend, and losing her in a very sudden and traumatic way. And I was starting to really, really deal with a lot of fear, a lot of really, really life debilitating fear. And I don't know if you've ever dealt with debilitating fear before, but let me tell you, it's not fun. It is not fun. If you haven't already experienced this in your life, you probably will at some point in the future. So I hope this can encourage you wherever you're at, or if you know someone that's dealt with it. But I'm going to share a little bit about that fear in this reading today. But basically, I had been dealing with debilitating fear about losing more loved ones and about being like, oh my gosh, everyone's going to die and I'm going to be alone and I'm going to be stranded and not have any help. And just this very, very real, like, oh my gosh, like I have no control over what's happening around me, which is totally true because we don't have control over the events happening around us. you know, like these kinds of events. And, you know, I actually lost one of my good friends in high school. And that was also a sudden and seemingly random, like shocking, terrible situation. And I dealt with this at that time as well. But this time I had found that it was much, much deeper and much, much more severe, I guess I would say. This fear of losing family members, of losing more friends, and just debilitating. I was getting nightmares all the time, which I actually do still struggle with. But a lot of nightmares, a lot of like daydreams, I guess, like flashes during the day that would distract me, and random thoughts, like random violent images and almost like daydreams that would come into my head. This might sound like totally weird, I don't know, but I think it was a lot of spiritual warfare. I think the enemy was really trying to keep me off of, keeping me away from growing, keeping me away from the Lord. And I was dealing with this, all these really debilitating negative thoughts. And I was laying in bed the night before Easter and just thinking through some of these things and thinking through some different parts of my life that I was really exhausted by, and all different situations, things I've prayed for years, things that years of build up about certain things and not seeing resolve, and then having to experience the loss of my closest friend who I really depended on for so much, and really feeling alone in that. And that loneliness was fueling that fear, I think. And anyway, I was really trying to process through this when all of a sudden I had this, like, I don't know, this split second, this overwhelming moment of like really grasping tangibly what the resurrection meant for me in all of that, in my fear and in my loneliness and in my frustrations. And so I started writing just because I thought, well, this is a good way to process and get this all off my shoulders, off my chest. And I started writing this out, and it turned into this article. And really, the Lord just gave me so much joy, like out of the blue, which I love, and was definitely nothing I could ever have mustered up on my own. And I'm really, really thankful for the truths that he spoke into my heart then. They just answered my fears with truths. And I found that it really helped me not just get through that moment, but long-term learn to deal with those things a little better. Today, I'm just going to read to you that article that I wrote then, because it still really, really rings true today. And I really just want to reiterate everything for myself, definitely, and for anyone else who might be going through similar things, and just remind everyone of the true and deep hope that we have and how it rings true no matter what your circumstances are. And it is so deep and so strong. And so many times I think in the Christian world we can just hear things so many times and we like mentally know them, and after a while sometimes we just get like, oh yeah, yada yada yada, okay, I know it. And we need to be reminded. We need to have those moments where the Lord can show us things afresh. And I really just pray today that God would use this episode to show you truths afresh, if you haven't seen them before, or if you have, and just that you would have this tangible hope that you can hang on to in a really real and new way in your own life. So that's my prayer for you today. And without further ado, here is a reading of what Easter means for the Christ follower. As I lay in bed this Easter Eve, reading the scriptures and meditating on the word, on this life, this pilgrimage to my final home in heaven, I suddenly had this strange enlightening, a fraction of a second, like this very sudden opening of my understanding that brought such like a childlike thrill to my heart. I was feeling a mixture of emotions. Joy for the celebration of Easter, but sadness in my loneliness. Loneliness rooted in wishing things were different. Wishing that I received the same warmth that I so often strain to put out. But sadly, it's just not that way. As I lay here, I thought about the disciples that dark Saturday night, the end of the Sabbath. They must have been just sitting, waiting, silent, afraid. They weren't expecting Sunday like we are today. They weren't waiting by the tomb to jump up and cheer when Jesus came out like a rock star. Quite the contrary. They were cowering and hiding out, afraid of being caught by the religious leaders for their connections with Jesus. Afraid. Fear. As of late, I've found myself suddenly just blindsided by fear, bombarded with fears of all sorts, large, small, mostly regarding my health, well-being, my safety, and for those of my loved ones. Fear comes in when we let go of Jesus' hand. Fear, imagine it as a person, luring us out with lies and distractions of all sorts, takes our minds and eyes off of the truth and drowns them in falsehood. We must not cower and give in to these lies, but instead answer fear's misgivings with truth. Jesus, before he died, mentioned several times to the disciples that he would have to suffer and die, but also that he would rise again. Now, I'm far from bashing those guys right now because I'm 100% sure I would have fit in nicely amongst that group of confused and doubting minds. Like, what on earth is this guy talking about? He's the Messiah. He's got the Almighty God on his side. Heck, he is the Almighty God. Suffer? At the hands of mere humans? Death? No. That wasn't plausible. And it certainly didn't at all fit the mold that they had planned out in their heads for how he would deliver them from their broken government and surrounding world. I think this so threw off their assumptions and expectations that they either didn't catch it or just shook it off in as some manner of speaking too high for them to understand. Indeed, they got upset when Jesus told them these things. In fact, they protested, but none of them seemed to pick up the hope tied to the end of his sentence, his resurrection. So why do I say that? Well, because here we find them after experiencing the severe trauma of watching their super close friend and brother and mentor of the last 3 years become brutally and slowly attacked over and over and eventually murdered right before their eyes. This man was more than an acquaintance. They spent all their time together. Eating, drinking, hiking, playing sports, traveling, reading, joking, laughing, living, doing daily life together. The Bible doesn't record each activity, but we know that they've traveled together for 3 years. What would you do with your friends if you were traveling with them for 3 years? They hung out. Jesus was a man just as much as he was God. This man had not only been their close companion, but their very cherished friend who amazed them and whom they respected. Not only that, but they believed him to be the Messiah as shown by his many miracles and fulfilled prophecies. His execution absolutely diverted any hope they thought that they had in redemption. It threw off every single presumption they must have made about the Messiah, how he would come and rule. I get that feeling. Do you? God has surprised me and not met plenty of expectations I have put on him. But that's the thing, his death, the seemingly absolute worst thing that could have ever happened for his disciples and for Israel, turned out to be the absolute best thing, and not only for Israel, but for the entire world. Chew on that for a second. Sometimes I sit and sulk and think about all my unmet expectations, things that I've prayed about for years that God hasn't changed or answered, ways I wish he would do things that I'm just not seeing happen. But the thing is, that is okay. I am not God. And more often than not, Okay, basically always. His way of doing things far exceeds my own ideas of how things should be done. This world, sadly, is just so beyond imperfect. It's really quite terrible, in fact. Completely hopeless is an understatement. Think I'm being horribly pessimistic? Sorry! I actually do find great beauty and joy in life, at nature and hobbies and relationships and etc. But look around you, friend. Something's screwed up, right? Have you watched the news lately? Have you looked around you? You know it. You see it. You feel it. We all have unmet expectations. And I'm learning that is just the way this sad and broken land we presently call home works at the moment. But God, in my life, when I've hit those walls where I'm just swallowed up in confusion about the turn of events or the frustrations of no forward progress or tribulation, I usually work through some crazy pattern of bitterness, resentment, pride, oh, the pride. But eventually, if I'm honest and want to move forward, I have to come to the place where I lay it all at his feet, because what else do I have? And you know what? He always has some beautiful plan woven with threads of gold into my desert stormy seasons. He has created beauty in places where the land had none to offer. He has taken what is so miserably broken and breathed new life into it and restored it. And 2,000 years ago, he did just that on the cross. He took the absolute worst situation. The Messiah, the sole rescuer and deliverer of the world, dead. And turned it into the absolute greatest situation. The Messiah, rescuer and deliverer of the world, now proven to be the ultimate authority, the one true God, raised himself back to life, fully healed, in turn proving that he has the power to raise us from the grave. My friends, truly, truly, this day, this Resurrection Sunday, is the greatest of all holidays. For it is today we celebrate not only our good and gentle and kind Savior's victory over the death we so readily deserve, but in accepting his, it is now our victory as well. This is everything, guys! Okay, seriously, you better be getting excited with me right now. This life is so short, so fleeting, and so passing away. Surely our hope must be rooted in greater things beyond. Oh, friend, what joy it is to trust him, to lay your struggles and sorrows and pain at his feet. He takes our ashes and he gives us beauty at no cost but his own life, all for love. This is our hope. This is our anchor. The resurrection of Jesus is the foundation of our faith as Christians. And truly, we must either choose this day to live for ourselves and this rotting, miserable world, or live completely sold out for him. It is all or nothing. There is no in between. I encourage you, fellow Christian, do not let the sorrows of this world overtake you, for there are really so many. I know them all too well. Lift your eyes, little soldier, and see that Christ has set you free. This trouble lasts just for a moment, but his love endures forever. I encourage you, brother or sister, to shatter those presumptions you've made and lay them at the altar at Jesus' feet. Lift your broken expectations, your will, and lay them on the altar today. God's calling is higher and better than anything you or I could ever imagine. And it starts here and now. On this earth, we will still face pain. But we now answer that pain with something the world cannot offer. Redemption. His resurrection? It's for you. No matter what your life has looked like, no matter how good, no matter how bad, it's for you, friend. And it gives this life real purpose and joy, so rooted in eternity, it truly baffles my heart and mind. So, fellow Christians and friends of all other beliefs, today is truly the greatest day of the year. The day we as Christians set apart our hearts to recenter and refocus on what matters most. The fact that nothing this world throws at us can really harm us, because our souls are secure in Christ and our eternity is rooted in a resurrected Savior. Tetelestai. Amen and amen. Paid in full.